Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
This morning to Ephesians chapter 6 and Proverbs chapter 4. Ephesians 6 and Proverbs 4. This morning, we are on part 3 of our Mighty Warrior series that we began a couple weeks ago. And the title of our message this morning is Guard Your Heart. Guard Your Heart. Last week, we talked about what piece of the armor? Do you remember? The belt of truth. We talked about tightening the belt. When the Roman soldiers would go on duty, they would take their long flowing garment, their tunics, and they would hike them up, and then they would wrap the belt around them. And to tighten the belt meant they were going on duty. To loosen the belt meant they were going off duty. We talked about how when Paul says to gird up your loins or gird up your waist, that the loins or the waist symbolize in the Greek culture our emotions. And what God is telling us is that we need to gather up all of our emotions and wrap them up in the truth of God's word, and not live by emotion. It is easy to go and live by how we feel. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like sharing. I don't feel like working out. I don't feel like forgiving my spouse for that. I'm going to give her the cold shoulder for a while. But God doesn't want us to be a people that live by emotions. He wants us to be a people that act on the word instead of react to our feelings. The interesting thing about the belt is that the belt also kept the breastplate in place after it was put on. They would attach the breastplate to the belt so that as they're moving, the belt doesn't fly and move out of place and your heart is exposed. The implication is if we don't have our emotions bound up in God's truth, our hearts are not totally and completely protected. All it takes is we live by emotion and boom, our hearts are opened up. So that belt of truth is vital. But the breastplate is the next piece of the armor that we want to talk about. And the breastplate was known as the heart protector. The Roman soldiers wore metal breastplates that would protect them from arrows, from spears, from swords, from any of the attacks of the enemy. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's begin reading verses 13 and 14. It says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Let us pray this morning. Father, we just pray that you would open our hearts, Lord, to beat more for you. Lord, I pray you'd open our minds and show us how to guard our hearts, because our enemy is like a roaring lion going around seeking whom he may devour. Lord, help us to desire you. Help us to desire your ways and give us your understanding. And I pray you will build your righteousness through faith and love in us. Lord, anoint this time today. I pray for your spirit, God, to move deeply in our hearts and to draw us all closer to you. We ask this in your name. Amen. I have with me this morning a Kevlar vest, the kind that law enforcement officers use. And normally these vests will have in them a metal plate. And my Velcro is stuck. Can you help me with the Velcro there? It got stuck somewhere weird. Thank you. Normally they have metal plates that go on the front and go on the back. And I have been told that when law enforcement officers first receive them, they don't like them, because the metal plates make them very heavy. And it slows them down, and it restricts their movement. This one is one that's way too big for me. I can tighten it up, and so it's a little bit big, so it doesn't restrict me, but normally they're very tight and form-fitting, and so it's hard to move around with them, and law enforcement officers don't like them until they get shot, and the vest saves their life. And then they realize, I am sure glad I have this. Even though it slows me down, even though it restricts my movement, then I'm glad that I am protected. The Bible talks about the breastplate of righteousness. And that as soldiers, we need to wear a breastplate of righteousness. Sometimes Christians don't like to live in righteousness and holiness because righteousness seems to slow them down a little bit. I can't live as loose and fast as I used to. It restricts my mobility. God places certain parameters and boundaries in my life where He says, you may do this, but don't do this. And there are some people that say, you know, I want to be free, and I just don't have the freedom that I once had with Jesus. But friends, total freedom is not doing whatever you want to do. That is anarchy and chaos. Let me give you a great example. How many of you like to drive a car? Many of you do. My son just finished driver's ed. He wants the key almost every time. Dad, can I drive? Can I drive, Dad? Can I drive? He wants to drive the car all the time. You know, he doesn't have his license. He needs an adult with him, so he'd have to be driving with him. So he always wants to drive the car. But, and I'm glad he went to driver's ed because they taught him, you stay on the road. You stay in your lane. You don't take the car and drive it on the sidewalk. You don't drive it through people's lawns and gardens. You don't drive it into buildings or telephone poles. I mean, there are certain places you take your car and you don't take your car. And you see, some people, they want to take their car everywhere. The problem is, it destroys people, it destroys property, and it puts them and everyone around them in peril, and it can kill them if you take your car and have total freedom. Total freedom is not real freedom. It brings destruction, chaos, and anarchy. If everyone drove their cars everywhere they wanted to go, can you imagine the mess we'd have? It would be a mess. Real freedom realizes that there are boundaries and parameters, and it's not doing what I want to do, it's doing what I ought to do. And when we become saved, Jesus Christ comes and lives inside of us. He forgives us of our sin, and He takes up residence in us, and He now makes us righteous and gives us the power to never sin again. Romans 6, we talked about this a few weeks ago, says we are dead to sin. It has no dominion, no power, no control over us. We are alive to God and alive to righteousness. And the thing is, if you get into God's righteousness, His highway of holiness is like the Autobahn in Germany. You can go shooting 130 miles an hour down the road. See, when you live with God, it is exciting. God is not a killjoy, but God realizes that we just can't do what we want to do. We need to be righteous and holy people. And Paul says that you need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I want you to look in your bulletin this morning. On the back of your bulletin, take out your notes. And by the way, if you don't have a bulletin, we have extra sermon inserts when you walk in. You can pick one up every Sunday. But let's read what it says there. It says, the breastplate protected the soldier's heart. Symbolically, our heart involves our will, our intellect, our desires, our passions, our emotions, our purposes and endeavors. The word for heart in the Greek language is cardia. We get the word cardiac from it, for the heart. But it also meant, the word core comes from that, and the core means the very center of your being. And it wraps up our mind, our will, our emotions, our passions, our desires. That is our heart. And we need to protect our desires, protect our intellect, protect our will, because if not, we are exposed and we put ourselves in peril. Righteousness is a breastplate that protects your heart. Paul says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, Paul talks about the breastplate again, but he doesn't call it the breastplate of righteousness. Right, he calls it the breastplate of faith and love. Friends, righteousness comes from faith in Christ and love for Christ. If you're taking notes, righteousness comes from faith and love. For example, we need first to put our faith in Christ's death upon the cross. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:10, none of us are righteous, not one. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Look at your neighbor and say, "You are desperately wicked." We have to realize, because of our sin nature has made our hearts corrupt. We are depraved, and there is nothing you and I can do to change our heart. I know the church that I grew up in, it was like, if you just come to church, if you do these certain rituals and things, you will get to heaven. Friends, the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's according to His mercy He saves us. We can't put our faith in what we do. Going to church is a good thing, but it does not get you and I to heaven. Praying and reading the Bible are good things, but they do not remove our sin. Taking communion, being baptized in water are good things. Jesus said, if you're my follower, you should be baptized. If you have not been baptized in water since you have received Jesus as your Savior, then I encourage you to do so at our water baptism service on August 21st. Just go ahead, sign up the sign-up sheet. Jesus wants all of His followers to be baptized in water. It's a public testimony saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. Going down in the water symbolizes dying to self, and coming up symbolizes I've got a new life, I have resurrection power, and I am now living for God. I'm dead to Craig, and I'm alive to God. But baptism does not save us. It does not remove our sin, because it's not by works of righteousness. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's not of works. It's a gift of God. And friends, we need to put our faith in Jesus dying on the cross. If you've been trusting in your religion, in your good works, in your church, you don't make it. Jesus died for your sin and for my sin. And when I realize that I am a sinner, that I am deceitful above all things, and that I am desperately wicked, that I need someone to save me, I cannot save myself, and I put my faith in Jesus Christ, He will save us. That is what brings righteousness into our life, is putting our faith in the cross, in what Jesus did for us, instead of what we do. But there's a second aspect of righteousness, and that is love. Because I've known some people, you give an altar call, they say the prayer, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, amen. And then they go out and they live the way they want to live. There has not been any heart change because they haven't surrendered their will and their desire, which makes up their heart. They haven't given God their heart and love Him. On the back wall it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That is the first and greatest commandment. There is a love that is involved. Think of it as the relationship between a husband and a wife. In fact, in Ephesians 5, Paul likens the relationship between Christ and His believers to that of a husband and a wife. And he says, husbands, you lay your lives down just as Christ laid His life down for the church. Be a servant leader. You're not a dictator. You're not mean, you're not cruel, you are loving, you are serving. And then he says, wives, submit to your husbands, be faithful to them. And as believers, that's what we are supposed to do. We are to submit to the loving lordship of Jesus. You see, love isn't an emotional, goosebumps, romantic feeling. Love is a commitment that says, I will be committed to you regardless of what you do. And that's the kind of commitment we need. And when we put our faith that Jesus, I need Him to save me from my sin, and Jesus, I love You, You become the Lord of my life, You're in charge, that produces righteousness. And that righteousness is a breastplate, it saves our soul. But even after we are saved, we need to keep putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And we do that through growing in faith and growing in love. This morning, I want us to look at how do we build faith and love in our lives. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. This is where we're going to camp for the remainder of our service this morning. How do we protect our hearts? King Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and in chapter 4, he is going to talk to his son about how do you protect your heart. Look at verse 23. Verse 23 of Proverbs 4, Solomon says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." That word keep means to guard or protect. Write that in your Bible next to the word keep. Guard or protect your heart. It's kind of the same thing Paul talked about. You need the breastplate to protect your heart. The word diligence, it refers to a soldier that is standing guard at a post or standing guard at a prison. If you're at a post, if you're a prison guard, you are watchful, you're alert, you're always on the job, you've always tightened your belt. You're always looking for danger. And that's the kind of diligence that Solomon tells his son that he needs to have. He says, hey, be like you're on a post. Be like you're looking for prisoners that are trying to escape, and they'll kill you if they get out. Have that kind of energy and kind of diligence and soberness in your life. And then it says, out of your heart flow the issues of life. That word issues literally means the outgoings. In other words, everything in our life flows out of our heart. Do you realize what's in your heart, you will speak it? Our words are determined by what is in our heart. The Bible tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you have bitterness and hatred for someone, you can try to cover it up, but that is going to come out. If we don't have love in our lives, we're going to be unloving in our speech. If we don't have tenderness in our hearts, we're not going to have tenderness towards our kids and our spouse. If we don't have compassion for people that are hurting and needy, we're going to turn a blind eye and not help them. Our sense of justice, helping the needy, all of these things flow out of the heart. If we don't have a burden for the lost in our heart, we're not going to be that concerned about being witnesses. Our heart, we spend our money based upon the desires of our heart. Our heart determines everything in life. And that's why Paul said, my son, guard your heart with all diligence. It's vitally important. How do we do that? This morning in your notes, there's 2 points that Solomon's going to teach us. How do we guard our heart? How do we protect our heart with the breastplate of righteousness? And it's interesting, but both of the things that Solomon teaches here are tied into faith and tied into our love. Point number one on how to wear the breastplate, we need to grow our faith by saturation with Scripture. We need to grow our faith by being saturated with Scripture. We need to saturate our hearts, our minds, our intellects, our wills with Scripture. Look at what he says in verse 20. Let's pick it up in verse 20. He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Did you notice what Solomon said? Give attention to my words. Incline your heart. That word incline means bend. Bend your ear to what I'm saying. He says, let the things that I teach you not depart from your eyes. Don't forget them. Let it be the center of your heart. He is talking about the Word of God. He's talking about having the Word saturate and permeate your entire being. And the Word of God is key to growing our faith. What's the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How many of you want greater faith? What's the key? Greater Word. If I want greater faith in my life, I need a greater amount of the Word that I'm taking in right now. And sometimes it's easy to just take a little smidgen of the Word, friends. A saturation of Scripture. The Bible talks about the washing of the water of the Word. When we are in God's Word and we're reading it and we're memorizing it and we're meditating, we're thinking about what we read instead of just, well, I got to read this because this is my daily allotment. Okay, I got done with that, and now I just pray. No, but when I'm meditating, the Word can wash me, and the Word shows me the things in my life that I need to clean up. The areas where I am not protecting my heart. The Word is vital and important. I'm going to give you an illustration of how a greater faith protects our heart. And I want to speak really slow because these are some deep statements, okay? If we fill our heart with God's Word that says He is Jehovah Jireh, that He's our provider, that He's our God who supplies all of our needs, not some of them, but all of our needs according to His riches and glory. If I'm filling my heart with that He sees when the sparrow falls to the ground and I'm worth more value than many sparrows, if He provides for them, He will provide for me. If I'm filling my heart with this, that God is my source and my provider, then when I hit financial difficulty and I am tempted to, you know what? No one's looking. I can steal this from my employer and I can get away with it. Or I can lie on my taxes and get away with it. When I am tempted to provide for myself, God's Word is protecting my heart. It's saying, Craig, no. The Word says, I will provide for you. I am your source. You don't have to provide for yourself. You don't have to be dishonest. You don't have to lie. You don't have to cheat and steal and be deceitful. You can be ethical in your business practices. And when I am filled with God's Word, yeah, God's my provider. My heart is protected. And I will resist the temptation that the devil brings trying to get me to sin in the area of my finances. Like I said, that's deep, huh? Let's do another one. Let's say I fill God's Word with that I am a valued person to Him, that I am His beloved child, that I am the apple of His eye, and that nothing ever separates me from His love. If I fill my heart with those thoughts, then my heart will be protected from trying to fill that void by finding my value and my worth from a relationship with another person. There are a lot of people today, they try to find worth and value through a boyfriend or a girlfriend or for multiple relationships, because if people like them, now I have worth and value. Or there are some people, they buy, that they can't control their spending. Why? Because if they buy something, it makes them feel good. They have more worth and value. There's people that are workaholics because if they just accomplish enough, if they earn enough, if they produce enough, I am now a person of worth and value. But friends, true worth and value comes from knowing the truth that you are loved of God. And nothing you make, no person who loves you, not what anyone thinks about you, those things do not produce your value and love. And our hearts can be protected from getting into materialism, into ungodly relationships, into people-pleasing, if we protect our hearts with the Word of God. As I saturate my life with Scripture, it builds my faith to believe what God says about me and what God is going to do in my life instead of what the circumstances are. My heart is protected. And so if we want a greater faith, then we need to be a people that are washing with the water of the Word our hearts on a daily basis. We're memorizing, we're saturating our lives with the Word. Greater Word equals greater faith. Solomon also talks about how to develop a greater love to protect and guard our heart. Let's pick it up in verse 24. Solomon says in verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all of your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Friends, point number two, we grow our love by destroying duality. Now that's a word you probably haven't heard, but we've spelled it for you up there. We grow our love by destroying duality. Duality is going two different directions. It's living with two contradictory lifestyles. Sometimes I'm in a direction where I'm going with God, but other times I'm in a direction where I'm living for myself. And we need to destroy duality. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Solomon teaches his son about getting away from duality. He says, put away from you a deceitful mouth. The word deceitful means crooked or distorted. You know what a crooked path is? A crooked path is I start to walk in one direction, but now I walk in another direction, and then again I walk in a different direction, and then I walk in a different one, and I'm changing. A crooked path means you have more than one direction in your life. And he talks about a deceitful mouth. There are some people, their mouths are deceitful. Their mouth is going one direction, and then it goes another direction. Oh, Harvey, how you doing? I appreciate you so much. You're such a great person. John, you know what a jerk Harvey is? Have you known people like that? They're nice, and they say nice things to you, but then behind your back, they turn on you. That's a deceitful mouth. That's duality, and that destroys love in our life. He goes on to say the word in deceitful. He says perverse. Perverse means a deviation, not going down the right line where you want to go. I know, I knew of a teenager once. Mom, Dad, I'm going to go study at the library with my friends. And they walk in the front door, they meet their friends. Then they and all their friends walk out the back door to go party. They put on a distortion. It looked like they were doing one thing, but they were really doing another. And sometimes there are people that, when I'm with church people, I act one way. When I'm outside of the church, I act a completely different way. That's duality, and it will destroy us. And this whole passage, these last three verses, Solomon tells his son, he says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Not to the right or a left, not to a second direction. He says, think about, ponder the path of your feet. He says, don't turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Friends, we need to be people that are walking in a straight line with Jesus Christ, not veering off a little bit here and a little bit there. It's interesting, but there are three areas of the body that Solomon addresses. He talks about duality of the mouth, duality of the eyes, and duality of the feet. Duality of the mouth is what we say. Do you keep your promises? When you say something, do you come through on it? Or do you have a habit of breaking your promises? They're just empty words. You know, are you nice to people in front of their face, but then you tear them down behind their face? Do you say you'll do something, oh God, I'll serve you the rest of my life, but then you go out and you do something totally different? Our words, are we dual in our words? Are we dual with our eyes? What is the focus of our life? What are the most important things of our life? What is the direction our life is taking? Where do we invest our time and our talent and our treasure? Are we contributing to the kingdom? Everyone take a look over at the side. We have four words. These are the four things we focus on as a church. We want to be like Jesus. How do we do that? We celebrate God. We spend time with Him, and we try to please Him and be like Him. We try to connect with other people, our families, other believers, and the lost. And then we contribute to the kingdom with our time, our talent, and our treasures. Are we living our life for eternal purposes? Or are we just caught up in the here and now, busy with our own life, busy with this, busy with that, not really taking time and saying, God, you're the focus of my life. God, I'm committed to the call. Each of you have a call on your life. The Bible says you are a royal priesthood. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a priest. And every priest had a duty to fulfill. Every priest had a calling in the Bible. You and I, God has given time, talents, and treasures, and He wants us to use them for the kingdom. Not just for our job, not just for ourselves, but how can I build the kingdom of God with my life? Am I living for eternal? Am I trying to connect with the lost? Am I trying to connect with the body? Or am I just on my way, going through life in my own direction and not really looking at how can I be a person that builds the kingdom of God. Solomon said, ponder the path of your life. What are you focusing on? And he says, what are you doing? Your feet, don't let them go to the left or the right. Are there any secret sins in your life? You're doing one thing in front of people, but man, when no one's looking around, you're doing something that if it was exposed, if people saw, you'd be embarrassed and ashamed. Friends, God knows what you're doing. We can't cover anything from Him. We cannot have two masters. If we do, we love the one and we hate the other. And sometimes we say, it's just a little sin. It's just a little thing, friends. That's how Satan works. Satan does not try to get us to fall into gross sin right away. Ted Bundy, who was the rapist and murderer of young women, first started out in softcore pornography. And he looked at it, but eventually softcore porn wasn't enough. So he got into hardcore porn that had violent acts. And as he watched that, then seeing it wasn't enough, he began to desire it and want that in his life. And one day, he acted on what he had been filling his heart with, and he raped and brutally murdered a young lady. And he tells about after he did that, he was just horrified at what he had done. But then later on, as he kept getting into the pornography, it drew him back, and he did it again and again and again until he was caught in it. It starts with little things. The safest road to hell is the gradual one. But it's not safe. It'll destroy you.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.